when I was hearing a call to ministry, that song made me cry. Every time I sang it, even before I knew that that's what I was hearing. And it was only after I signed up for seminary that I stopped crying. Here's our scripture for today. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's because this was after his resurrection. And Jesus came and said to them, and says to us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Well, kids, I've got a story for you. What verses are those? You were reading along and I didn't announce the verses. I'm sorry. Matthew 28, that was from 16. 16 to 20. I suspect her parents are going to quiz her later, so she's got to have it written down. Actually, I saw Leah's diary that she keeps from worship, and she keeps a lot of information in there, and that's good. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story. Mo, you want to come join us?
Yes. Come on, Mo.
The rest of you can listen, but this is kind of for the kids. My kids, I've given my heart to. You don't have to stand up here.
Okay.
I said, I'm kind of created a children's area over here. Children who are about to make their first adult decision. So this is about my life. I know it's very boring when your grandparents and other old people sit down and tell you stories from their life, but I have you as a captive audience. You have to listen. Many years ago, there was a call on my life to go as a missionary to India. You've heard some of that story and how I got there. But there are bits and pieces of what happened there that I haven't told you about. I was there as a layperson. I wasn't clergy yet. I wasn't a minister. I was a specialist in what was then called, has a different name now, but it was then called mental retardation and developmental disabilities. But there were so few services for people in India that I often had to deal with things that I didn't have any training or experience for, didn't really have much knowledge about. Now, I don't think you know that I love mysteries. It's one of my guilty pleasures. Murder mysteries for some reason, but I also like puzzles of all sorts. I like figuring out things. And I often treat people like puzzles that have to be figured out. Well, one day, I came to have something of a reputation in the area of India we lived in. For about 500 miles all around us, there was nobody who was treating people with mental retardation. They just stayed at home and were cared for by their families all their lives. They weren't educated, didn't get any training. And I started setting up a diagnostic place. That means a place where you figure out what's wrong with somebody, and treatment center. One day, a father arrived with a little boy in his bicycle basket. He had ridden 15 miles on his bicycle with his son in the bicycle basket to bring him to me so I could figure out what was wrong with him. He was 4 years old and had never said a word. Not one word. They'd taken him to doctors. There was nothing wrong with him that they could find. But he just didn't speak. And he was starting school, and they were really, you know, you can imagine what it would be like to be in school and not say a word. And teachers would think you were dumb. You might get labeled. It would be really bad. Well, that was not my specialty. That was not something I had ever encountered. My specialty was with folks who were very limited intellectually, and this kid seemed to be smart in every other and on target in every other aspect of his life. He just didn't talk. And I viewed that as a mystery. What does that have to do with the Great Commission? Somebody ask.
What does that have to do with the Great Commission?
Thank you. It puzzles me why, when we have this command from God to go and make disciples, why we don't do it. That's as big a puzzle to me as why this little four-year-old boy didn't speak when there was nothing preventing him from doing it. You see, the Great Commission isn't a suggestion from Jesus. It's the last command he gave his disciples. The last thing he told them to do before he ascended to heaven. It's like, okay, so I only have 3 more weeks with you guys. Today was the third. So now I only have 2 more weeks to teach you everything I want you to know. Forever. One of the most important.
In order to do all that, you're going to have to add on some more weeks.
You want me to add some more weeks on? God bless your soul. Yeah, and you're not a bit proud of her, are you? Except when you aren't. Well, I just want to pour everything into you, including the Great Commission. This idea that because God has blessed us, we need to go bless other people. It's really kind of like a prayer that one of you chose this morning. I can't remember who. And I said, that means that when you were blessed, you need to pour it out on others to be a blessing to them. Do you remember? That was Mo's prayer? Okay. Just take it, Mo. It's kind of a compliment. And I was looking at you today, so proud to see you all sitting up here, and you over there. Don't want to exclude anybody. And just longing for what I want for your lives. Any parents, grandparents, guardians out there who just know what God should do with their kids' lives? And I tell God frequently, God has a better plan. But the whole idea is that once we are filled with gratitude for what God has done with us, we want it to spill over into other people's lives. So I'm thinking a part of the mystery about why we don't do that is maybe, A, we don't realize what God has done for us. Sometimes that's true. And B, sometimes we're not grateful for it. Does that make sense? Sometimes we just take it for granted that God loves us. And we're not thankful for it. We think God owes it to us. Do I hear an amen out there anywhere? And if you take it for granted or as your due, then you can't be excited and thankful for it. And then you miss out on part of the excitement of life, the joy of life. A lot of the joy of life is in feeling blessed and knowing that you're blessed and wanting to share it with others. But I think there's another part of the mystery, and that's that we've lost the urgency. We've lost the sense that it's important right now to share the gospel with other people because there's an enormous risk if we don't. The Great Commission, that's what the scripture's called that I read today in Matthew 28. The end of it is found also in the book of Mark, and I want to read you that one because it conveys more of the urgency of this message. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. Leah, this is Mark 16, verses 14 to 16. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Here's the clincher. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's pretty urgent. If we just believe that God is love and loves everyone and will save everyone, then there's no urgency in spreading God's word. But when we realize that those who don't accept God's love, and believe it or not, in the United States today, there are people that have not heard the gospel message. There really are. There are people all around us who have never set foot in church. You guys, in your classes, what percentage do you think are kids who have never been in a church? 75%? What did you say? So you think most of the kids in your class have or haven't? Have not. Most. Okay. 50%? How many of you are shocked by those numbers? But the kids are right. When I do funerals and weddings now, I don't expect people to know the Lord's Prayer. I don't have my glasses on. Marge, is your mouth hanging open with shock? Never mind. I'll tell you later. Or Nan will. It shocked me the first time I realized that there was nobody praying along with me at a funeral. And I don't even attempt to have people join me in the 23rd Psalm. Carl, that wasn't true in your day, was it? Everybody knew those things. And it's not because they don't teach it in school, it's because they don't teach it at home. There will always be prayer in schools as long as there are tests. But there are a lot of homes where there's no praying going on. And that's the reason that we have a generation that I'm so worried about. So there a few of the answers to that mystery are people don't know they're loved by God or take it for granted. And they have no urgency for sharing it with other people. Well, that's what I figured out about the Great Commission. Want to hear what I figured out about Kumar, the little boy? Mm-hmm. He didn't need to talk. Turned out he lived in a great big family and everybody anticipated all of his needs. He never had to ask for a thing. He woke up in the morning and they had his warm milk there for him. Believe it or not, they like warm milk in India. And then they would give him a chocolate bar. He was very pampered. And then he would have his breakfast, and it was always his favorite food. He never had to ask for it. Et cetera, et cetera. The day went on. He lived with his grandparents and his aunt and uncle and his mom and dad, and everybody pampered this kid. Problem, diagnosis, solution. You're right. That's what's next. That's exactly right. Don't pamper the kid. But I had to have something specific. I had to have something specific. Who are you looking at? You think pampers you?
Letha.
Do you really want her to stop?
Yes.
You want her to stop pampering you?
What?
All right. You got your word for the day, Letha. Here's what I told them. Are you ready to listen to me now? Here's what I told them. I asked them, what's his favorite food? And they said, ice cream. I said, okay, he never gets ice cream again until he asks for it. And they said, we can't do that. Grandma will give it to him. I said, okay, Grandma has to come see me. I'm not going to see any of you again. They'd been to see me 5 or 6 times before I finally figured this out. I want to see the whole family. So they brought Grandma and Grandpa and the aunt and uncle. They had to take like 6 rickshaws to get everybody there. And I said, you all have to, do all of you want him to talk? Yeah. Are you willing to do something that hurts you and him in order to get that to happen? Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, no more ice cream until he asks for it. Believe it or not, that kid was talking within 8 hours. By the end of the week, he was speaking in full sentences. It was all in there. He just didn't need to use it. And after that, like 20 more parents brought kids to me who didn't talk. It was always the same problem. Problem. The world needs God. What's the solution? Don't pamper them. You're right. Don't pamper your friends who are on the wrong path. Don't tell them it's okay. Tell them what God's will is for them. Now, you guys frequently get away with a lot with me. But is there ever a time when I don't confront you about something that hurts you or somebody else?
Yes, you do confront
sometimes.
Us.
Oh, I'm not for sure.
Yvette had the right answer.
I wasn't paying attention.
Just about always you confront us.
Just about always. I will caringly confront you and tell you that I love you too much to let you continue going the way you are. And that's what we have to do with our friends and family. We have to tell them we love them so much, we're not going to let them continue in ways that will hurt them and that we really want for them to know Jesus. Because the Great Commission is the only solution I know of to the problems of the world today. We have to live it out. We have to live it. Even if it hurts, do you love your friends enough to do something that will hurt them and you? And that's my question for everybody. Do you love your friends and family enough to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ? It really is the best solution out there. Will those who are helping with communion please come forward? Jesus gathered with his disciples several times, but one is fresh in our minds because we really celebrate it during Holy Week. And that is when he gathered with friends in the upper room and celebrated what we think of as the First Communion or the Last Supper. And at that time in that meal, he took bread and broke it, which was not an unusual thing to do. It was part of their celebration. But what he said was unusual. "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And as Karen reminded us on Maundy Thursday, there were four cups at the meal that were special. But the one that he chose to use was the cup of sacrifice, wasn't it, Karen? When he picked that one up and gave thanks to God and blessed it, the words that are used in light of the fact that they believed that was the cup of sacrifice were even more powerful. "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." It's the same as him saying, "My sacrifice is to forgive your sins. It's going to happen." Well, we know it did happen. And so it's even more powerful to us that he said, "Drink this in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of God's mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice and pray, "God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and the cup. By them, make us one with Christ, one with one another, and one in service to the world, proclaiming your sacrifice, your love, your gospel to all the world. Amen." The United Methodist Communion table is open to all who wish to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You only need to want that relationship to receive communion. And because we want it to be available to everyone, there is a gluten-free alternative in the center of each plate. Will the ushers come forward?